This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Is a third temple ready to be built? And should Christians support the building of a third temple in Israel? Today on Viewpoint, we take a look at that question, but in the context of some other developments that you may or may not have heard of. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to follow the tale of a cow, well, a series of cows, actually, in the Middle East, and they're called red heifers. And we're going to find out what the red heifer has to do with the rebuilding of the temple and where the red heifer stands with regard to current prophetic developments. You say, well, that doesn't sound very real. Well, it is very real. In fact, if you went back to the book of Numbers, you would find that the red heifer was actually mandated in order to purify the saints of Israel, the people of Israel, the priests of Israel, and so on. So we're going to find out more about that here on Viewpoint today, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. I received a letter from my friend, pastor friend, David Decker in Israel. In fact, he sends me one every week. This one is dated March 18th. He says, Israel at War, the end of week 23. So I want to share a few excerpts with you from this extensive letter. He says, after weeks of delay due to international pressure, spearheaded by the Biden administration, Israel will likely very soon begin its ground assault on the Rafah area in southern Gaza, the last remaining stronghold of Hamas. This should mark the final stage of this war in Gaza. It may also mean the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, will face some of the fiercest and most perilous battles that Israel has had to engage in so far during its modern history. So please pray fervently for God's protection over Israel during these critical weeks ahead. Then he goes on to say, to date, about 250 IDF soldiers have fallen, in other words, lost their lives in Gaza. About 100 hostages abducted from Israel by Hamas are still being held in Gaza by the terrorists. Before this war, Hamas had constructed more than 400 miles of tunnels beneath Gaza, some being as deep as 300 feet below the ground. These were engineered at great economic cost in the many billions of American dollars. Within these tunnels are many hundreds of large bomb-proof shelters, big enough to protect not only every Hamas fighter, but also every single one of the 2.1 million civilians in Gaza. Hamas chose not to build any shelters for the civilian population and keep them, and keeps them at gunpoint from accessing these shelters. Hamas deliberately left the civilians without any shelter or protection on purpose as part of their twisted military strategy to see as many civilians killed or injured as possible in order to increase international condemnation of Israel. Just think how evil this is. And it's working. By comparison, Israel's very measured and careful military response has been more restrained than any other nation in the history of warfare. Why? Because of the high morality of the Jewish people. Because Israel, more than any nation in history by far, cares more about saving precious civilian lives than any nation in the history of warfare. Yet Israel, more than any other nation on earth, is being almost universally condemned. Why? Because the entire world, rife with antisemitism, holds the one tiny Jewish nation, Israel, to a grossly unfair double standard. About 200,000 Jewish refugees were created in these past 23 weeks by the attack on her borders from both Gazan terrorists and by Hezbollah terrorists in the north. Intense efforts are underway through diplomatic channels to make Hezbollah withdraw from southern Lebanon. If these diplomatic efforts do not succeed, then Israel will also have to defeat Hezbollah. When? Starting sometime this year. And if that happens, it would result in a much bigger war for Israel, at least 100 times more deadly and dangerous than the current war being waged against Israel and against Hamas in Gaza. Please pray for Israel. Well, that's about half of the letter I received from David Decker, a Christian pastor there in Israel. He's lived there for about 40 years, and he's joined us here on this program a number of times over the years. But that's not all. That just sets a groundwork or a stage for the balance of our conversation here today on Viewpoint. Fortunately or unfortunately, I have before me on the broadcast desk probably 20 different articles related to the current status with regard to Israel, with regard to Hamas, with regard to biblical prophecy, and a whole host of things related thereto. And we're not going to be able to get to all of those. We're just not going to be able to get to them because there's so much to talk about here today on Viewpoint. So we'll get to what we can and trust that somehow it will make a difference in our lives. And, you know, even as the Biden administration is doing everything it can to force Benjamin Netanyahu not to go into Rafah, to cease and desist in order to supposedly protect the political fortunes of Mr. Biden because of the hyper-liberal folk in his party who are putting such pressure on him to come against Israel and to somehow stop the war against Hamas. But in the middle of all of that comes a very interesting picture. And that's what I want to talk with you about here today on Viewpoint. Again, I want to let you know how grateful we are for those of you who have been responding to the Persecution Project. And it's amazing. I really believe that when the Lord spoke to my heart one day, a couple of weeks ago, right in the middle of the program, tell them about, offer this Persecution Project. And, I hesitated right there on the air, but then I felt, you know, this is exactly something that the Lord wants to have happen so that it's not just for our benefit, it's for your benefit, it's for the benefit of Christians all over America, certainly, and perhaps around the world, so that all of us can become involved in preparing the way for the times that are coming, and we see those happening. This very day, friends, this very day, I went through probably a dozen different articles that are bringing up to date new and different issues concerning persecution in this country and around the world, but even especially in this country. And that's what people don't seem to realize. And so I have felt somewhat inspired to create an additional item for the benefit of our listeners and those who would want to avail themselves of it on our website. So sometime in the not-too-distant future, we will create what will be called either the Persecution Post or the Persecution Chronicles. Maybe you want to let me know what name you think is best, Persecution Post or Persecution Chronicles, so that we can provide an update on what's happening in our country and around the world on a regular basis. We can't keep the book going. The book is finished in terms of what I have written, and now it has to go to typesetting and so on.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, and I think you can see why that would be. Talk that transforms. And just to finish up the little conversation concerning the Persecution Project, for those of you that are not familiar with it, I have just completed the initial writing of the 24 chapters of my 11th book called When Persecution Comes, Preparing the Hearts, Our Hearts, for Perilous Times. And because of the nature of this book and the nature of our times and what is happening so quickly, it seemed that it was appropriate and highly desirable even that not only we offer the book here as we normally would do on this website and in other venues, but that we give opportunity to our listeners to be co-participants in the distribution of the message. So that spawned the Persecution Project, which consists of for every $250 that a listener, someone who listens to this program, considers themselves, that they are inspired by the Lord to give to Save America Ministries, we will, when the book comes out, provide 10 copies. 10 copies of that book to you. You're not buying a book. You're not buying 10 books. What you're doing is contributing to both the preparation for getting this book out and also the ability to have in your hands at least 10 copies of the book that you can provide to friends, neighbors, your pastor, parachurch leaders, others in your sphere of influence, people you work with, and so on, that the Holy Spirit leads you to give. This is a book specifically to Christians. This is not an evangelistic book. This is a book to prepare the minds and hearts of professing believers, because unbelievers are not going to be persecuted. It's believers, true believers, that are going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake and for the name of Jesus or the name of Christ. So this gives you an opportunity to be a co-participant, a genuine partner, not just giving money, but also having a significant participatory role in distributing and getting out the message where you are in your sphere of influence. Now, quite a number of people have responded, and we're grateful for that. The majority are responding with $250 donations, some with $500 donations, and at least one with $1,000. So as the Holy Spirit moves in your mind and heart, we urge you to at least consider becoming a partner in this unique enterprise. We've never done anything like this before. That means we're right at the end, largely the end of the age. We're at the point where the ultimate events of human history, as recorded in the scriptures and as prophesied by both Jesus and his apostles, are taking place right before our eyes. And we want not only ourselves to be ready, but we want those in our spheres of influence, those we care for, those we love, God loves them too, and we want them to be prepared. And right now they're not prepared. By far, I would dare say, look at it this way. Pastor after pastor after pastor has joined me over the past 10 years on this program, and in response to the question, what percentage of the people that profess to be Christians do you believe are actually prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ? You know what their answer is? Between 5 and 15%. The average is more closer to 5%. These are the pastor's friends, which means they're actually making a declaration that by far the majority of the people in their congregations are not prepared for Christ's coming, which means they're not prepared to endure persecution, because Jesus said that before he came, there would be massive persecution. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. John talked about it. James talked about it. So what's going on here? You can see the dilemma. So that's why this is so important, and why we're also going to shortly on our website prepare a section. Perhaps it will be updated weekly, monthly, we're not sure at this point, called either the Persecution Post or the Persecution Chronicles. And if you're so inclined, you might want to let me know what title you think is best. And we'll take the interest of those who have responded and our own insights and decide exactly what title to use. All right. That having been said, by the way, you can go to our website, saveus.org, and you'll find the Persecution Project there where you can make your commitment. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you're writing a check, make sure you put on there Persecution Project. Okay, now, anchor your seatbelts, friends, because on January 14th, the January 14th edition of the Palestine Chronicle, edited by a fellow by the name of Ramzi Baroud, featured an English-language translation of a televised speech made by a fellow by the name of Abu Abida, the military spokesman for the Hamas al-Qassam Brigades. It was on the 100th day of the Gaza War. Now, what would he be talking about in this particular article? Well, it has to do with red heifers. Red heifers. That's right. You say, what? Well, here's the article that came out from the allisrael.com site. Back in January, a story flew under the radar discussing the relationship between the October 7th massacre and five red heifers. Yep, you read that correctly. You heard it correctly. At the 100-day mark of the war, Abu Abida, the military spokesman for the Hamas al-Qassam Brigades, gave a televised speech about the Hamas efforts as well as a reminder of the purposes of the war. Now, this may be something you have never heard of, okay? So let's listen up carefully. The speech said, "We look back 100 days to remember the educated, the complicit, and the incapacitated among the world powers, governed by the law of the jungle, reminding them of an aggression that reached its peak against our path, Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa, with the start of its actual temporal and spatial division and the bringing of red cows as an application of a detestable religious myth designed for aggression against the feelings of an entire nation and the path of the prophet, Muhammad." Now, this is somewhat confusing language because, you know, he delivered the message in Arabic and it got translated into English by the Palestinian Chronicle. But what he's really saying is, on the 100th day of the war, Hamas against Israel, Israel against Hamas, that the real purpose for Hamas attacking Israel had to do with the bringing of red cows and an application of a detestable religious myth designed for aggression against the Arab nation, or against Islam. Now you say, well, what could five red or four red cows have to do with any of this? Well, that's what we want to talk about here. There was a very wordy discussion of perceived Israeli aggression against Al-Quds, the Muslim name for Jerusalem, and Al-Aqsa, that's the Black Dome Mosque on Temple Mount, lies curious in telling statement, the bringing of red cows. The red cows being referred to are the five red Angus heifers imported from Texas in September of 2022 through the joint effort established between a Christian ministry called Bone Israel and the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. And they made tremendous efforts to find qualified red heifers. You say, well, what's a qualified red heifer other than just being red and being a heifer? Well, they found not just one, but five blemish-free, that is unblemished, red heifers without more than two black or white hairs. That's what it meant to be unblemished. They had to be pure red. No blemishes. And as of now, four of the five heifers remain blemish-free, and according to the Temple Institute rabbis, they hope to carry out the ceremony before Passover of 2024. Oh, Passover of 2024? That's coming up right closely, isn't it? Absolutely it is. Only nine heifers have been sacrificed since the time of Moses until the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD by the Romans. The Rambam, Maimonides, famous Jewish philosopher, rabbi, stated that the 10th red heifer ceremony would bring in the Messianic age. Are you listening? This guy back in the Middle Ages, Maimonides, stated that the 10th red heifer ceremony would bring in the Messianic age. Now, there has not been a red heifer ceremony, certainly, since 70 AD. In the same way, evangelical Christians who hold a futurist view of Bible prophecy believe a third temple will be built and subsequently desecrated by the Antichrist before the return of the Messiah, Yeshua. Now, it would seem that this would be something that we would have high interest in. People listening to this program would have high interest in. Because it's one more step, one more factor that shows us the progression of biblical prophecy and how quickly things are now developing. Now, in my book, King of the Mountain, King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic and End Time Battle, the subtitle is, "For he who builds the Temple Mount is deemed to rule the world." He who rules the Temple Mount is deemed to rule the world. Really? Well, if that be the case, and the rebuilding of the temple is going to require these red heifers that were mandated in the book of Numbers, chapter 19, then it would seem that we are on a very direct path toward the rebuilding of the temple. You wonder, well, how could that possibly be? If we've got all of this war, the rumors of war, and the nation's all upset with Israel right now, and just what would it be if they tried to rebuild the temple? We're going to get to that in the second half of the program here today on Viewpoint. So, this story, by the way, barely made the news even in Israel. Why? Well, because the secular Israelis, of which are about two-thirds of them, are not really all that interested. The presence of heifers in Israel, why should they care? The Hamas terror organization apparently followed the events closely, though, to use this as the stated reason to launch the surprise invasion and attack they called the Al-Aqsa Flood on October 7th. And you didn't hear that on CNN, did you? You didn't hear that on Fox News. You didn't hear that on Newsmax. You didn't hear it on MSNBC, did you? Or CNN? No, you didn't hear it there. You didn't hear it from the New York Times. Why? Because they don't care about any of the spiritual things. They don't see the connection and don't care. But you should care. Because the spiritual is the underlying factor. It's not just the geopolitical things going on out there. The geopolitical are directly linked to the spiritual. You might want to get a copy of the book, King of the Mountain. The $20 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org. It's all about the progression through history toward the rebuilding of the temple. Who's going to occupy it? Website, saveus.org.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived, Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Should Christians support the building of a third temple? That's the overarching question before us here today on Viewpoint. But we've been laying the foundation for responding to that question to help us all understand the context, you see, in which that question occurs. The context actually goes back at least 6,000 years. In fact, it goes back before human history. It goes back to the time when Lucifer in the heavenlies had a falling out with God because of his immense envy and pride. And so as a result, Lucifer, whose name ultimately was referred to as Satan or the serpent or the deceiver, actually mounted a crusade. It's a crusade that has taken 6,000 years to carry out on planet Earth. It has to do with him becoming the ruler of the world. Now, you'll recall that Jesus, at the time of his baptism, was taken away by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness after 40 days of fasting and prayer. He was assaulted by Satan there in the wilderness with temptations. One of those temptations was, look, Satan said to Jesus, look, if you will just bow down to me, I will give you all the kingdoms of this earth. I'll give them all to you. All you have to do is bow down to me. Now, how could Satan say that? What right did he have to say that? People would think, well, don't they already belong to God? Well, yes and no. Because actually, the Bible says that God gave dominion to humankind in the earth. You can read about that in Psalm 8. Even David wrote about that. You made us to have dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under our feet. Satan knew that. Therefore, when he was cast out of the Mount of God because of his rebellion, his pride and his envy, he determined, well, I'm going to be just like God. I am going to actually replace whoever God sends to humankind to gird them up with salvation. And so he said, I will ascend to the heights of the north. I will be like the Most High God. Now, where are the heights of the north? That's the Temple Mount, friends. There's an escarpment on the north of the Temple Mount. He said, I will ascend to the Temple Mount that God had called his own holy hill. You can read about that in Psalm 2. I urge you to do that. God calls the Temple Mount his holy hill. So Satan himself determined that he was going to rule and reign from God's holy hill. In other words, he would become Lord of the earth. He would demonstrate that he and he alone was Lord of the earth, not God and his son, Jesus Christ. That's what his intent was. So for 6,000 years, the process has been in place for the Temple Mount to become the most significant piece of real estate in the world. It is utterly priceless because of it. It's seemed to be the place of ultimate power, both spiritual and geopolitical. It is deemed to be the ultimate piece of real estate in the world. Just 37 acres. All of this is written about in my book, King of the Mountain. If you have not read that book, you're in for some tremendous surprises and eye-opening experiences that will help to unfold for you the trajectory of history and where we are right now. $15 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Okay, now we move forward to take a further look at the outworking of this Hamas terror attack on October 7th and how it continues to relate to things that happened earlier, going back into the 1920s, and these red heifers. So here we go. The Hamas terror attack on October 7th was the continued outworking of the teachings of their predecessors, mainly that of the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem called Haj Amin al-Husseini, who was a founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. In the 1920s, Husseini, also known as the father of radical Islam, was the first to bring up discussions about Al-Aqsa and the Third Temple. Husseini galvanized a support base in large part by promoting the idea that the Jews would destroy Al-Aqsa in order to rebuild the temple. Now, all of this is connected together in an article, What Do Five Red Heifers Have to Do with the October 7th Massacre, by Callie Mitchell in allisrael.com. So, the incitement that Husseini set up was no small matter. In fact, the tensions peaked in 1929 on Tisha B'Av, the holiday that commemorates the destruction of the two previous temples. As Jews marched by the thousands toward the Western Wall to pray, they were violently attacked by Arab Muslims who had adopted the Grand Mufti's radical views. The event erupted into a full week of pogroms against Jewish settlements, known today as the 1929 Palestine riots or the Barak Uprising. So 1929 is not just the time of the economic collapse in America and the West. Over 130 Jews were brutally murdered and some 300 were injured at that uprising. Husseini's influence broadened after he was exiled from Jerusalem in 1937. He was an avid Hitler supporter. Husseini sought asylum in Nazi Berlin, Germany, where he hosted a radio show promoting his anti-Semitic theological views paired with Nazi propaganda to the Arab-speaking world. Well, after the foundation of the State of Israel, 10 years later, Palestinian interest shifted in a more nationalistic than religious direction for the next few decades of looming wars and failed peace plans. But the Temple Mount became center stage again with the onset of the Second Intifada in September of 2000. The response to then Prime Minister Ariel Sharon visiting the Temple Mount is still considered to be the trigger for the Second Intifada. The next morning, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, called the PLO, radio station drew from the words of Husseini by issuing a call to all Palestinians to come and defend the Al-Aqsa Mosque. During the next 4 years or so, a wave of suicide bombings claimed the lives of over 1,000 Israeli civilians. We forget about all that, don't we? The nation seemed to forget about all that. The aftermath of the Second Intifada paved the way for what is called the Gush Katif disengagement in 2005, which then allowed for the rise of Hamas leadership from the military wing of the Muslim Brotherhood to be the political power of Gaza. Hamas leaders operate under a document called the Hamas Charter, and the original 1988 version is still regarded as one of the most anti-Semitic documents in world history. Particularly notable is their direct call in that document to annihilate the Jewish people, along with promoting jihad as the only solution and responsibility of every Muslim. In fact, that was, in fact, Husseini's ultimate solution by protecting Al-Aqsa Mosque. So on October 7th, Hamas proved to the world that they were not only Husseini's ideological descendants, but that they were willing and capable of following through on his message. So while Hamas spokesman Abu Obeida's 100-day speech was the first statement to directly address the red heifers, the Al-Aqsa flood was launched on October 7th, and it's clear to anybody it was in response to the growing push from so-called right-wing religious activists to gain more of a presence on the Temple Mount. So the desecration of which this Hamas spokesman spoke was not limited to concern regarding the import of the heifers, but primarily related to the quiet increase in Jewish prayer allowed at the Temple Mount, which had previously been prohibited for both security and religious reasons. Jewish prayer on the Temple Mount is controversial, even within the religious community. Why? Now we start getting to the red heifer. The ritual impurity of a population void of the sacrificial system, paired with not knowing exactly where the temple would have stood, could allow for an accidental desecration of the site, which was not tolerable. So to avoid that possibility, visiting the site was discouraged by many rabbis. However, if the heifer ceremony is successfully completed this spring, that could change everything. Whoa. Everything? What could that mean? Well, it might have something to do with the rebuilding of the temple, the third temple. Should Christians be in support of that? If so, why? If not, why not? We'll be back. Stay tuned. This is Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The red heifer, the building of a third temple, and whether or not Christians should be involved in assisting or have interest in it. That's what we're looking at in the next 12 minutes. According to the book of Numbers, chapter 19, The red heifer ceremony results in the creation of an ash and water mixture that was used for the cleansing of the nation of Israel from the ritual impurity of coming in contact with the dead. Now, whether or not you consider that meaningful is not the point. The point is that this is what the Bible says. The ceremony also requires some of the blood to be sprinkled at the front of the tabernacle and, of course, later, at the temple. So in the event of the temple's reconstruction, its functionality for ritual sacrifices would be conditioned on the presence of the priests, that is the Kohanim, but also, in addition, anyone participating in temple worship would be required to be sprinkled with the ash water of the red heifer. So even without the presence of an actual architectural temple, the ceremony would allow for the general population to be ritually cleansed, thus removing much of the religious prohibition for a Jewish presence on the Temple Mount. That's where things are heading. Well, you can see then that would be a large threat to the radical Islamic worldview. If the heifer ceremony does indeed take place this Passover, as is being believed by many, we could well experience another shift in events very quickly. So whether or not the Temple Institute moves forward with plans, it has become clear that the arrival of the heifers was more than an engaging human interest story. It was a story of profound geopolitical and even spiritual consequence, and much of the world, if not most of the world, missed it. But it seems that the radical element in Hamas did not miss it and used that as a trigger for the October 7th massacre. Now we begin to get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. So, should Christians support the building of the Third Temple? Scott Lively did a rather significant piece just in the last couple of days asking that very question. Should Christians support the building of a Third Temple? He says, prophecy watchers are all aflutter over reports of the Orthodox Jews now in control of Israel for the first time since its national reincarnation in 1948, and are in the final stages of preparation to build the Third Temple, which is an essential element of end times eschatology. All eyes are on the four red heifers shipped to the Holy Land from Texas in 2022, after rabbinical authorities deemed them fit for sacrifice to produce the ashes needed for the ritual cleansing of the high priest, allowing him, the high priest, for the first time in 2,000 years to perform the duties prescribed in the Mosaic Law for building and consecrating the Third Temple. Now, before we talk further about these red heifers, let me answer this question. There are some who say, well, what difference does it make? I thought the scripture says that God does not live in temples made with hands. True. He said that in the Old Testament, too. Did you know that? That's just not a New Testament concept. God never lived in temples made with hands. But he did instruct Moses to build the tabernacle. And then he allowed David to prepare for the building of the first temple. And he instructed Solomon as to how to build it. And he called it his house. Then when the second temple was built in the days of Herod, actually, it was rebuilt in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra and so on, but it was added to, the whole Temple Mount was added to dramatically by Herod. And when Jesus went into the temple a couple of days before his crucifixion, on Palm Sunday, he said, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves." Why would Jesus call it his house if the temple didn't matter? Apparently it did matter to Jesus. He called it his house. So even while God doesn't live in temples or houses made with hands, it was a human, it was a symbol for humans of the sacredness of God's presence in the earth. And it was built on the Temple Mount, which God had ordained himself as his holy hill. In other words, the place to be manifestation of his presence, not only in Israel, but the world. Now begin to see why Satan wants to rule and reign on the Temple Mount, where he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. Now you're beginning to see it. And Satan himself can't do that. He can only do it through a counterfeit, a human being. Therefore, he is working behind the scenes, facilitating the movement of the nations to ultimately inaugurate 10 regional governments that will, for a short period of time, delegate their complete trust and responsibility to one individual that is known in the Bible as the Antichrist. Now, perhaps you might have greater interest then in my book, The Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. You see, first you have King of the Mountain, then you have Antichrist. These are following in a kind of sequence to prepare God's people with understanding of the dynamics of what is taking place so that none of this will take you and those you love unawares. Because people are not aware. They just aren't. So you might want to consider getting a copy of the book Antichrist, a $22 book. Here's for $18 on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879. Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. And if you get that book and another book, maybe King of the Mountain, or the subsequent book, Messiah, then it'll be $7 postage and handling, and you'll save $3. Okay? So, you might want to consider that. I urge you to consider it. Now, according to the Christian Broadcasting Network, these red heifers now are between 1.5 and 2 years old. So to replicate the ceremony mentioned in the Bible in Numbers 19, they need to be at least 3 years old. And within that time span, they can't have a blemish or anything that would disqualify them for the ceremony, even one white or black hair. So it is believed, this is a report from CBN, that it's very likely that the ceremony would happen somewhere in the area of Passover 2024 out to the possibility of Shavuot, Pentecost of 2024. Those periods of time are coming up very rapidly, friends, within the next few months. So we have an assessment by inside sources that the red heifer sacrifice will very likely occur between April 22nd and June 13th of this year. And then the rumor is that the Jews have actually prepared 3 pre-constructed temple buildings in undisclosed locations ready to move to the Temple Mount whenever the time is deemed right. Now, as Scott Lively comments, there's really no good time for the Jews to build the third temple because the entire Muslim world will erupt in genocidal fury against them. But, well, that's already happening on somewhat of a smaller scale since October 7th, isn't it? And it's the Muslims who drew first blood in that war. So the dynamics of a Jewish reclamation of all or part of the Temple Mount under these geopolitical conditions are much more favorable to them than they might otherwise be, says Scott Lively. I think he's right. Now, I am not here to tell you that a temple is going to be built or installed, or the red heifer sacrifice is going to happen between April 22nd and June 13th. This is something I'm reading a report to you from supposed inside sources of a genuine belief. But things are moving inexorably that direction. That's the point. So, should we as Christians have anything to do in support of Israel in the rebuilding of the temple? Well, let's put it this way. Christians do not believe that we need to go through the ritual sacrifices that the Old Testament required. The book of Hebrews, chapters 9 and 10, make that very clear. That Christ became our sacrifice once and for all. We're not saved by the blood of bulls and goats or red heifers. On the other hand, the Jewish people, other than maybe 12,000 of them in Israel and some in the United States and the Western world, have not embraced Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah. Therefore, they are still under the law. Please understand this. They are still under the law. That's why they are so desperate to be able to get these red heifers in place so that they can rebuild the temple, so that they can again restore the sacrifices that were demanded by Hashem, God, in the Old Testament for Israel's purification and righteousness. Now, is that going to cleanse them? No, because Christ alone is our ultimate sacrifice. So should Christians be supportive of Israel doing that? Well, yes, in the sense that we want people to obey God. No, for the sense that it causes Jewish people to think that they are obtaining salvation by alternative sources. Therefore, Christians must understand, and many pastors have a very hard time with this, Christians and their pastors must understand that Israel, from their viewpoint, must rebuild the temple. Now, the prophet Malachi says the Lord himself will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delighted. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. But who shall abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he's going to be like a refiner's fire, and he'll purify. He's going to be the one that purifies, not the red heifer. But until then, the Jewish people, having rejected Messiah, have only one salvation hope. It's not a legitimate salvation hope from the standpoint of Christ being our Savior and sacrifice once and for all. But it's the only hope they have until they receive the blood of Yeshua Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, to cover and atone for their sin. In that sense, Christians should support the building of the third temple. At least it leads toward the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I hope this is helpful. We could discuss it for a lot more. Get a copy of the book, King of the Mountain. $15 will put it in your hands on the website, saveus.org. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Become a partner in the Persecution Project, friend. Don't delay. Help us to get this thing underway so that the book can come out in August so we can get it distributed as quickly as possible. God bless you.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.